Hello, everyone.
Morning.
We'll give folks a few minutes to come in. Cornelia, I have that we are at UX Prod 2271. Does that jive with what you have on the spreadsheet? Okay, great. I think I am going to try the AI companion today. I think that it actually generates a meeting summary. I've been doing I've been I went back and did a bunch of AI meeting summaries for prior. I think that I don't know if you have to turn it on in order to get a summary at the end of the meeting, but I'm curious if anyone has used that feature before.
We've used it before, and you have to put it on, yes, but you did.
I
Did you?
did. I
Yeah.
turned it on, but if you turn it on, does it then generate the summary at the end of the meeting automatically?
We had that sent to us by Peter Murray.
Oh, right, Peter got it. But it must generate it if we turn it on. Is that what happened, Cornelia, that you
Yes,
remember? Okay.
as far as I remember.
All right, we'll see if that works. The way, so just so folks know, the way I have not been doing these meetings because we're documenting everything that we're deciding in the spreadsheet and then also in Jira. But our regular meetings, we have been I started using, Tom had been using a local version of Copilot when he was doing it. I started using Gemini, an institutional version of Gemini, which means that the transcript does not go to train the model. It just gets analyzed locally. So don't worry about the notes. So I did them back to where we're caught up at this point. So I can continue to do them in Gemini. I did not want to do them in Gemini if it was just going to the cloud. So and I will we'll talk about it and I'll give folks a chance to respond at Monday's meeting when we have a larger contingent, hopefully. So welcome, everyone. Nice to see you all. Today, we're going to keep making our way through these remaining Jira tickets, which is we're getting close to. I think this is our last group of them. So We probably have two or three more meetings worth, but hopefully we will get through them. Cornelia is going to keep up on the spreadsheet, and I will be sharing my screen. And we are up to 2271. Any announcements or anything before we get started? All right. I will share my screen. And I will make it a little bit bigger. All right. Is that big enough? People read it okay? All right, 2271. Use effective copy number in loans and related in-app reports. Let's see. Well, did we look at, I don't even know if we have looked at 2170. Let's just take a quick peek at that.
Something tells me that's inventory. So we probably
Oh,
didn't.
yeah, we probably did not. It's interesting. All the things that are, it is open, and all the things that are, it's referring to are all closed, presumably done. Interesting. So this one is just about storing it. It was split off from. So where is this supposed to be stored? Because it's already doing this.
I wonder if this was one that was completed but never closed. If you scroll back down to the linked issues, what's down there?
It's this one that
Yeah.
is it? I don't understand how store effective copy number is different than, oh, it's the call number piece that is store that is that the, this one is done. But they haven't, they're not storing effective copy number. It's in the item record, that seems, isn't it part of the call number? The effective call number? Or maybe not.
I thought it was.
I would have thought it was too. Who is, oh, Kate. it doesn't look like this is on any schedule. This is an old ticket too. So right now the copy number, this one looks like it is, I mean it's actually marked as blocked. So I don't know if it needs further refinement or if we can just flag this one, but it looks like it needs to be, I mean, look at how old this one. It's like iris. It looks like we would need to check in with metadata management inventory folks to figure out what's going on with that other one. Is it, can someone look and see if it's in the effective call number? Because I actually thought that isn't it the last digit of the effective call
Yeah,
number?
copy number is an effective call number. Here's a page that says that.
Okay. So this sounds like it needs to be a separate field, but if it's already part of the effective call number, then does that make this not necessary or redundant?
Well, and I'm trying to
jump in to check, but like holdings record doesn't have a copy number field, does it?
No,
It
it's in the item
shouldn't. No,
record.
it should be in the item only.
Yeah, so the effective copy number is always going to be the item copy number. So I don't understand.
Yeah. It feels like it's already there. 'Cause it said, like, where do you want it? You want it anywhere the effective call number string displays in the user's loan. So it's always and in transit. As long as the effective call number is being displayed, the copy number is part of that. So I'm wondering if we don't need this anymore. Any.
We could probably check if the effective call number is on all these reports mentioned. Otherwise, can be closed.
Okay, will you put a note in the spreadsheet
Yes.
to check? And I won't drag everyone through it now. But yeah, I think that if it's true that the effective call number is in these reports, which usually it is, then, and it certainly is like in the lists, when you're running a list, you can get the effective call number. Then I think it seems like this is redundant because it was already taken care of and could potentially be closed. And potentially this one could also be closed if that is already stored. I mean, there is a copy number on the item record, obviously, and if this is effective copy number is part of the effective call number, then you might not, they might not need that either.
Think this might actually be this might be worded wrong. I think it's supposed to be use effective call number in loans and related app reports.
No, there was the store effective copy number says this there was split tickets. One was to call number prefix and suffix, and the other one was for copy number to be part as of the effective call number. So
Which it
that's why it
seems like
says
it
copy
is.
number because that was split from
It
the
was
prefix
split
and
out,
suffix.
right, from this other. Oh, it's not here anymore. It was on the other one. Yeah, I think that's right. All right, well, I'll take a look at those reports and see, because it does feel like it is redundant.
But that's really old, and we didn't miss it anyways.
Right. Yes, it's from 2019. All right. Oh, why did you go all the way to the top? All right, let me try that again. Let's see.
Oh,
It is
yeah.
not clicking where I'm clicking. Okay.
It doesn't want you to open that one.
It does not. Check improve styling. Okay. Check out failures. Improved styling. This is a very brief ticket. Current error message structure does not allow for front end to style them and ca call attention to important text. Okay. See this one as an example.
I'm not sure how much styling you want to add to this because of screen readers and accessibility.
Yeah. Okay. Improved. Is there
Well,
an
you could have
image?
semantic, features in HTML, right? That would
Or
benefit
like
both.
bold and right.
Yeah.
So in this case, so it's basically bolding. Isn't there, this feels like there is styling in modals. Like there are
Yeah.
definitely bolded items. So I'm wondering if this has already been done.
Might have been done in a different ticket. But you're right, there is.
There's definitely styling because the
Yeah.
status is definitely highlighted in some of them. I don't feel like this has not been done at all. I think this is another one we have to look at, Cornelia, and see, because I know that there's definitely bolded information in pop-up in modals when you're checking things in and out. Maybe it's just in checkout specifically. I think we would have to look at that.
So
But yeah,
maybe
put it.
it was forgotten for the special case, or maybe not. Maybe the ticket is.
I mean, this is very
Yeah.
generic and looks like there's this one ticket for a specific example, but that looks like the only one. And maybe this has already been done in other. This one is also a very old ticket back to
Yeah.
2020.
Dima would probably know if this was done or not, or how the front end styling is done. I do know that the error messages that popped up are using a common dialog box and a combined dialog box. They did that when there's multiple blocks on a patron account or a checkout. So
Okay.
they're using like a common dialog box. This might have been rolled into that because you're right. I do know there is styling. It might also have been, and it's not fleshed out here, that they want something on the back end that identifies what needs to be styled, and maybe it's all on the front end now, or yeah, who knows?
Yeah, it does say that the structure on the back end doesn't allow for the front end to be styled. But I'm
Yeah.
curious, like you said, does it? Are they all controlled by the same styling? Like whenever a dialog box comes up, bold the item status, bold, like, you know what I mean? Because they can't be doing
Yeah.
these one at a time, every different message that comes up. There's got to be some standard
Yeah,
pop-up,
there's
I would
templates that
think.
they use that they apply because you need it for internationalization because
Right.
the text around the components portfolio needs to
Right. Okay,
This can
just
be
make a
tested
note
relatively
if,
quickly, yes.
yeah, let's test it and we'll see, because it feels like this c could potentially be closed. So if it's already taken care of, then we can close this one. All right, make phone a repeatable field with type labels. So phone numbers.
I think this relates back to when we were talking about allowing Folio to have multiple message avenues. Like you could have print, email, text message.
Yeah, I thought text messaging was still on the thing,
Keeps popping up.
but they're already, we have two fixed fields though, phone and mobile phone. So I don't know that we need this to
What about facts?
actually it's probably I don't know if this ticket is about it, but no, sorry. I was thinking about email. Sorry,
Yeah, I mean, right now there's email, phone, and mobile phone are the three fields, I think, in that chunk of the user record. So I think this sounds like a different way of approaching, like, having a more flexible way of doing it, but I think we already have two phone fields and one of them is labeled mobile. So if we do, I hope we do eventually enable SMS messaging, that there's a mobile phone field that could be used.
Yeah.
I think
I
this
mean,
is not necessarily needed, but
it's a nice to have. A lot of applications where you're storing user data allow for multiple phone types. Like you have a home phone number, office phone number, mobile phone number, like emergency contact, like 50 different phone numbers.
But we don't. Is there a use case for that though? Like
Not
in the case of this, like what is our goal here? Like if the goal is to enable text messaging, we have to have one field that allows a place for the mobile phone to be designated.
exactly.
I don't
I
know.
think the only place where this would be more useful, For let me rewind it. For higher education, I don't think it's necessary because you're right. Like we only need a contact phone number and then we need a cell phone number because we have other avenues to get people's phone numbers. But I'd be interested to see what public libraries or private institutions would think because they may need to or want to store more phone numbers.
Gotcha.
Was this about recording the carrier for the phones? Because I do remember at my old library when we did have SMS, we did have to put in the carrier.
Ugh.
I don't see anything. Oh,
Yeah,
yeah,
it
that's
does.
like
He's right. It does
certain
say.
carriers did not allow, like we could not send from certain carriers.
Huh.
Like AT&T's, T-Mobile, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I, for me, it seems it's more along like you need a home phone, work phone, whatever, parents' phone.
Right. Yeah, I don't know about the carrier aspect of it
When I
and
read it,
how
it
the messaging
seems,
would work. It's, I mean, the technology has developed so far beyond where basic messaging used to be. Like, I don't know.
You used to need to know the carrier, and some systems don't have it because certain carriers had restrictions around text message versus SMS message. But then also, you could cheat. Some carriers like AT&T and I think Verizon actually had an email address that everyone's cell phone had. So like your would be your number at AT&T dot SMS dot something like that. So you could cheat, send a message that way and not use an SMS gateway. But I don't think it's needed anymore. But yeah, that'd be
I
a dead
think that
threat
it's not,
though.
that's not sort of how, it says right here that it does already allow for it.
We do have different address types, so maybe it was meant like the addresses are styled that you can choose between home and work and whatever you want.
I mean, I think it would need to be pretty far down the list of beyond what I mean, the capability what we have right now has probably enough to support text messaging. It doesn't, it's true, it doesn't have capability to support more than two phone numbers. But I don't know if we want to keep it.
For our old system, the approach was a totally different one. It was not one or two entries for the patron itself, but having this type of address fields, like you could add a work address, a home address, a parent's address, and for each you could add an email and a phone number. And that approach for me would make more sense because it would be connected to some kind of already existing address type, but that's a totally different approach.
Yeah, Anya, our old system did that as well. The phone number was tied to the type of contact, was sort of like, and tied to dates, like you're home during these dates or whatever.
But it seems a bit out of date with
Yeah, I
mobile
would say.
phones.
Well, are people comfortable with proposing to close it now? Again, these go if this comes up again, it's gonna, I mean, it's literally one sentence. It's gonna need to be rewritten anyway, if this is gonna be any for go any further.
I say kill
I mean, there is a team working on SMS messaging right now,
That's good.
on day, so maybe
That's exciting.
because Staff Day, she edited a lot of those tickets.
Yeah, right. You know somebody's doing something. I mean, if they need more than what they have, that's going to come back to user management. So. All right, let's close it and we'll see if anybody speaks up for it. Oh no.
Sorry, my brain is just going in 15 different directions today. When you said that, I just went to wedding vows. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Exactly. All right. Prioritizing needed for. Uh-oh. Is this the three-part item stage? It is.
Oh, kill it.
Well, we're rethinking. I mean, is three-part item state dead in the water, or where are we at with that, would you say, Tom?
I say we kill it. I have to get and talk to Laura Daniels. Me and her were going to do a spin-off group from our cross app and look at the pain points of current item status and that. Either way, like the way item state func the whole idea behind three-part item state, the way it was designed, is probably going to get tossed out the window and redesigned.
Which is
Instead
why
of three.
this needed for is not it, this isn't going to
Yeah.
be relevant. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of like three parts, I was thinking two parts.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So do we think this can be closed as it is?
Yeah, I'd say kill it.
Because even if it does get. even if it does get put together with, I mean, it gets rewritten, I think, or the whole thing is going to have to be rewritten. So needed four might not even be a thing.
Yeah, I think it was I think the state that I was thinking of keeping was process.
Yeah. Which is sort of what the process is that it's in, like
Yes.
reserve process or binding or whatever.
Exactly. And it kind of combined the new idea behind item states is it kind of combined the other two because you had needed for and you had process and
Right. It's
needed
really
for
just
is like,
one. Like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it.
right.
And basically, it would be an extra state that had could have multiple steps to it, which
Right.
is what the other one was supposed to do. So it cleans up the item record slightly.
Gotcha. All right. This is a notification when recently ordered item they are interested in is available. Oh, so. Oh, this was mentioned by five colleges.
So you know, don't know anything about it, probably.
Well, I mean. This is a July 10th. Let's see, July 10th when? 2020, Cornelia. No, I don't remember this specific. And it was also in resource management, not resource access.
Oh, okay. So this is
This.
about you. I don't. Something is on order, but I don't want to request it. But I do want to know when it's available.
Yeah, so this is
Oh.
funny because for the longest time, we have always had on our order form, like, notify me. There is no such thing. There has never ever been in any system we've had a notification when something is available. What notify means is we put it on hold for you. So if you just want to be notified, you can't be. It's not actually a thing.
Oh. I
So.
think it is there. Is there a way, and perhaps this could be reworked. Is there a way? Yeah, I guess there's. How could you? Never mind. As I say, is there a way of having a request for something that's on order? But if it's
Yes.
more, yeah, but I'd have to have an item record.
Yeah, so when it's ordered, as soon as it's on order, it can be requested. But it has to have an item because you can't place a request without it. So the request happens. You just can't be notified without requesting it. That's what this is about. I think we need to let this one go because we have not ever been able to do it, and I don't. Yeah, see. If I recall, five colleges did distinguish between putting a request on it.
Yeah, and Erin is saying that she thought it was from that like a catalog needs to see her. So this almost also feels like a workaround. If that's the case, this feels like a workaround for the whole like three-part item status.
Yeah. But it's
So
not.
from a patron's view, I think this is interesting, but it sounds way too complicated.
Yeah, I
Put
know, which is
it
why we've
in.
never had it.
Yeah. And
We
why
finally just
distinguish?
changed the wording on our order form and said, did changed it from notify me, which was a lie, to place it on hold. So notify is no longer an option.
And
I
why
say kill it.
distinguish
Why?
from
Well,
the
because some people don't want it. They just want to know, 'cause I guess because I think this is a dated and quaint idea. It used to be at Amherst, we had many, many faculty who were responsible for building the collection. They would just go through catalogs, they would order books. We had really robust ordering from our faculty. They were building the collection. They didn't need to see all the books. They just, whatever. So they
Sounds like
didn't
a nightmare.
necessarily want to get them. This doesn't happen anymore. So it's, I think it should just be closed.
Like that.
We have
Okay.
not kept any of these open so far. I just want to let you know. It's very exciting.
Also, like I would say, also argue that it's not part of access services, that that should be part of collection development and ordering. That
Yeah,
should be
but
part of
we're in
their
charge of
response.
notices.
We don't
We
have
can.
to be.
Isn't that something for discovery? Like, push
Yeah.
it over there.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
So, sorry, Katie,
Go ahead.
what do you mean by it happens in public libraries?
Oh, the people will request a book being added to collection, but they just want to be notified and not a whole placed. It happened a lot. And I think it's kind of the same idea that they think it should be added to co collection. You know, it's like something missing from the collection that we should have, but not that they necessarily want it. So,
So
yeah, but
then I would argue, why do they need to know that it came in, right? Like I would have argued that for our own
because
faculty as
they're
well, right?
interested but don't need it right now and in the first place. So, want to have others let it first and don't hold it up
Because
and
that way, if
maybe
it's
check it
never
out later.
purchased it, yeah, as I said, that way, if it's never purchased, they can come to the library and complain that why did you not purchase this item? Or why did it take you 6 months to purchase this item?
Right.
I don't think it's necessary. Like Susan said, there's no ILS that would have that had that functionality that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it would be way complicated and not a high priority.
That was going to be my next question, Katie, was whether your library that you had this happen at actually could fulfill this other than like someone emailing manually.
Yeah, that's what we did. You know, I have a spreadsheet and contact the person.
Yeah.
So,
All right. This one looks like, Olga, one that you all looked at for reserves. After an item has been associated with a course, sync item and inventory data. Oh, yeah, we definitely, this has been a problem from the beginning, that the way that courses was developed was that when you attach an item to a course, it is a one-time grab of that data, and there's not a live connection between. It's not just pointing to the UUID, for example, and pulling in that data. And it has various implications down the road. So I think this one probably needs further refinement, I would
yeah,
think.
it
I
does,
don't, it doesn't have very much in
it does
it.
have a development team now.
Oh. Wow. Well,
When we looked at it, none of us had enough expertise to refine it, so
okay. But it does date back to when it was very first, when Courses was built. So,
it's mentioning pub sub.
yeah, right. So it's got to be refined. Yeah, I think this is still a desired functionality on the courses side. It needs refinement. All
I think
right.
it was even on our priority list for courses.
Yeah, it may very well have been. Hey, we kept one. Look at that.
You broke your
Item
streak.
status. Check in. Yeah, I did. Check in customized behavior in the check-in app. All right.
No.
No. Okay, wait.
I think this is back to the three-part item status, isn't it?
Okay. Well, we already know that certain item statuses cannot be checked out for define.
Yeah, this is customized item
No, can we just say no?
But
Yeah.
isn't this something already done? Like for some item statuses, you get a modal that this is declared lost and you can check it out when you check it
Oh.
in, or is that what it means?
No, look,
No,
it's saying
you
it
have
wants
to
to
use the
customize
Oh,
how
there
these
were.
different item statuses behave at my library. I want it to be special.
Okay.
But I
Everyone
think that
wants
isn't
special
that
history.
opposite the whole definition of the item
Yeah,
status? That's what loan types are for. Do I sound like a broken record?
no, you are correct.
No, I mean, I get the use case.
I do understand the use case, but again, you should have a loan type that is restricted or whatever. You don't have to call it restricted, but non-circulating or because
No.
that is what that is how circulation rules and loan types are designed to work, not item statuses.
So withdrawn, I would argue that withdrawn should not, that you should not have to change the loan type on withdrawn items and that they should not check out without a warning. But yeah, it's not that
Right, but that
important.
is a but oops, I didn't mean to edit that. That should be though a I mean we could argue that that's a function and all withdrawn item statuses should function that way, not that it is, because what this sounds like it's doing is that it's saying we want to do something other than what the item status is designed by the system to do. I would agree with you that withdrawn should not circulate, and maybe it doesn't. I don't.
Maybe it was changed at some time
It does say it
since
allows checkout with a
existing, yeah.
warning, so maybe, I don't know.
But
Who
I'm not
knows?
sure.
Right. But I still don't know whether or not I would agree that we should be able to customize the behavior.
I would
I don't know.
agree on this. I think it made more problems than it solved. This seems like a holdover from some of our Sierra libraries relied on statuses. And that was okay if it was never checked out, but the same thing, if somebody checked out, overrode it, the status defaults back to available. And if you remember to change it back to status to check it back in, and it's much simpler just to resolve that behavior with the loan rules rather than by statuses.
Doesn't this sound redundant, Scott, to what we were talking about like just a few weeks ago?
Yeah, it does.
Aaron?
I think this might go back. I guess I don't know how old this ticket is, but we at MSU, we were using restricted status for our non-circulating items, and it was causing problems because when you check them in, the status clears and becomes available. But the reason we did that had to do with EDS. Like we had to do it that way. We couldn't use a loan rule, but it's since been fixed. So just recently, like 2 weeks ago, we went through and we are no longer using restricted status. Everything with a restricted status is now available, and we have a loan type that is non-circulating. But the reason we did that was because of the EDS problem. So
Yeah.
since that's been resolved, we've been able to change our workflow to match what it really should be.
Oh, that's great. It was, you're right, Aaron. It was a restriction on what could be displayed in EDS.
Yes.
And if you wanted the that sort of loan type to display, it did not. So you
Yes.
had to, but as you say, the status was showing. So now you have the option of including the loan type. That's great. So, are folks good with proposing that this get closed as not no longer a viable option?
I would say mark it as do it mark as closed because again why did I want to say Deborah? Oh my God, my brain is fried today. Laura and I was going to talk about pain points and inventory around the three-part item status, but the other one I was talking about was item statuses in general and
Yep.
what sort of customization we do need and what people expect. So it's all going to be new work.
Okay. All right. And we will have a chance, other people will have a chance to look at our closure, our proposed closures, which I need to send those out soon. We're going to have a chunk because I don't think I've sent out the Valeris ones yet. All right, record scans in check-in app, even if check-in is not confirmed. Maybe scanned in. Okay.
Why?
Why? No, right. So you want to log
Exactly.
that you want to log that a barcode was scanned,
Yeah.
even if no transaction takes place. This seems really not only just really hard to execute on, but again, why I'm sort of thinking.
Would be a UI only solution more than likely. Like you could capture the item information and put it into the table on the UI, but once that UI is closed, it's gone. But
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. Like,
Yeah.
I'm not sure how this would be useful
That
unless
is
it's.
exactly my question. So why is there any use case in there? Why this might be useful? Because I think of dozens and dozens and dozens of entries in the circle giving me no creating a lot of data load.
Yeah.
So what's the use case for this kind of record?
It probably doesn't happen often.
Katie?
Yeah.
But I think it's either maybe their staff clicks cancel a lot or some kind of related to claims returned type thing, but that way they can. If they get a claims return item, they can verify whether or not the item was just scanned, but cancel was accidentally hit instead of confirmed. That's the only thing I can think of. That's kind of far-fetched, but
No, that's, I don't
maybe.
think it's
Yeah,
far-fetched.
sounds
I
fun.
think that's definitely a possibility. It's just the question is like, we just assume something like that might have happened or whatever. Like, I don't know. I don't know how you'd be able to capture all of these.
Yeah, as I say, along the lines of what Katie said, the only thing that popped in my head was catching like a circulation student that's for some reason hitting cancel instead of accept because they're not paying attention. And you can be like, oh, okay, well, you keep hitting enter, but you're not actually looking at the screen.
Yeah, or like when multi-piece modal is the first example, like when the patron didn't bring all pieces and you sent them back, and just to capture how often that happens or whatever. I mean, I could see it being useful in a way, but no.
I just don't know how you would keep track of it. 'Cause Tom's right.
Yeah,
If it
you
doesn't
can.
go through, I mean, I guess the barcode does have to get sent from the UI because otherwise you wouldn't get the modal back, right? But I don't
But
know.
I think the flow for check-in by barcode is that there's a pre-flight that does a check to see if there's any blocks or if there's any pop-ups. And then after that's cleared, then it does check-in by barcode, which is the actual action that checks it in. So the first one is actually just pulling item information. But yeah. I mean, it's possible to do this if people want it.
It wouldn't be
I
my
start to
highest
see I
priority.
no, I start to see the reason behind
Yeah, I could see the reason behind it too, but I think that there are training opportunities to make that possible. Katie?
Okay, I think I might actually have a use case in from our institution. One of our campuses, their check-ins were not being recorded. At one point, it's just like they were saying they were checking in, but it wasn't showing up in the circulation log. I think we ended up restarting the circulation module and everything was A-okay, but I don't know, wonder if something like that was happening to this institution. And so they just wanted a way to track things.
It's a
Gotcha. possibility. Mean, the other one though too is they might have wanted it. I could see another kind of half use case to this is circulation statistics, because you're still performing an action at the desk. You're still using up staff time, but there's no transaction currently stored. And if you were to store things of this nature, you could show, oh yeah, look, there's 50 other transactions that happened that were canceled because the patron changed their mind. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it would be helpful if it was paired with an action so that if it was scanned, you knew it actually recorded the check as opposed to just scanned it and nothing happened. Otherwise, you would have dozens or even hundreds of scans. We have to go through and verify each one to confirm it, that there was an action associated with it.
Right. And presumably it would scan it if you're adding it to the circ log, it would be added twice, like, oh, this got scanned, oh, this got checked in. Like every single barcode scan would be a huge amount of data to capture. I mean, yeah, it would allow you to say, yes, this item was touched, and we physically had it here, maybe. So I could see some use cases there. I'm just not sure if it's worth it to actually develop to operationalize. Because it says in the list of things that it would have an effect, it would add it to the circ log. The loan details, maybe, like maybe it's an action on that. On the loan table of, or the loan detail table of transactions related to the loan, or, and then update last check-in date on the item record. It wouldn't do that because it's not checking it. It
Yeah.
shouldn't do that. Yeah, Jacob.
Is it possible to just record the cancellation without recording the scan? You
Interesting.
would
You can
have
record
you would
whatever you
just
want.
see that there was a cancellation, but
Maybe, because that cancellation would be an action and it would be associated with that barcode. That's not a bad way to think about it.
this conversation is really reminding me of that decluttering video I watched last night. Was funny because the main point of the video was like when you're decluttering your house, you're supposed to do a gut reaction, and whatever your gut reaction is what you do with it. Because she was like, if you really think about it, you can justify keeping anything.
Anything. Totally. Oh, that is totally true. Yes. All right. Anybody want to go to bat for keeping this?
My take on this is really, is it worth this? We would have to spend a lot of time in the sense of, for example, exactly this. Please do not update the last check-in date, because then I would assume in troubleshooting that the modal was confirmed, the last check-in was successful, and all three pieces must have been there. So it would have been an enormous amount of work, and is it worth it? And my gut reaction that the cluttering is perfectly fitting here is no, I'd rather spend my time on other things. But that's,
Kind of the
yeah,
same way.
that's my gut reaction.
I'm with you also, Anya.
I
All
say we
right.
nuke it.
Nuke it. Nuclear option for that. And again, somebody can speak up and say, I want to keep it when we send out the list of proposed. We're
And then that
just
person,
recommending.
will get the task of putting it into refinement and
Yes.
supplying the appropriate use cases. Can we make that a prerequisite for voting for keeping it?
Well, if you really want it, it seems like no one else is going to refine it. So, yes, I think that makes sense. All right, option to retain items last borrower even after anonymization. Ooh, I know people that are
No,
interested in this.
kill it, kill it,
Kill
kill it,
it.
kill it, kill it. What's
Yeah.
the point of anonymization
Yes, I totally
then?
agree.
Yeah, I think.
Also, charging a patron months and years after check-in? No,
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I understand this, and trust me, we've been burned by this. Like, you go to check out a book, you open it up, and it looks like somebody threw paint in it because they used so many highlighters on the thing.
Right.
Which,
Yeah, but
first of
you
all,
can't confirm that that was the last person, right? Like, there's no way to even confirm. I mean, I know there are use cases for this. But again, it defeats the purpose of anonymization in many cases. And I do think, I think what this allows is when you have people who are very much at your institution who are pushing against short-term anonymization, you can say, well, this feature would allow you to, in these cases where you're like, oh, it didn't have this piece returned, whatever. But it really does put the onus on the check-in moment to make sure it has all the pieces, and
The
it's
other
not
one,
destroyed.
sorry, go ahead, Robert.
I just want to mention from the perspective of working with libraries new to Folio, this comes up very often. I think Sierra and Voyager at least have this. You're like, well, wait a minute, we rely on that. I don't know that any of the libraries have really been too put out by having to kind of compromise and determine how they're going to do it in Folio, but I will say it definitely carry over from other systems, which may not be a justification for it, but I do hear about it a lot.
Yeah.
In
There
that
also
case, you
might be
can.
legal consequences. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
Go
you
ahead, Karina.
can just adjust anonymization settings to a period when you're still comfortable charging someone, which is not months and years after you discover damage.
Right.
Let's make everyone happy and let's record the name J period Doe as the last person who checked it out.
I love it. I love
Yeah,
it.
but Jay Doe's gonna
Done.
be really upset when they get that notice.
All right. Yeah, I think that I think it would also be hard to, how would you exactly talk about anonymization on your, you know, on your policy pages when you're like fully anonymized and then, but not really, not unless you were the, but not if you were the last person, because that's not anonymized indefinitely.
I mean, I don't know if you could prevent this like on the API side, but you could make it not searchable. So it's like, oh, let me check this patron's barcode to check everything that they were the last borrower on, right? If you can just say, only if I pull up an item, then I can see who that borrower was. That is a semblance of that anonymization.
True, except that if subpoenaed, that data is stored. If the data is stored, it is findable, right? So that would be the counter argument to that. I totally agree with you, Robert. I think that that is, it is, it makes it harder. It's not like somebody could walk in the door and say, tell me everything this person borrowed. But it is not in the event, I mean, the whole Patriot Act, in the United States, the whole point of anonymization was so libraries could not, did not have the data to supply in any way to agents that came
Does anyone
looking
else find the
for.
name of that act very not sarcastic? What's a good word?
I know what you're saying, Tom, and yes.
But yeah, you're
And
right. I mean,
yes, and it used to be like, it used to feel so long ago, and now it feels like it's coming right
it's
back at us.
yesterday.
Yeah,
And this
exactly.
is also a reason why we're actually running manual scripts against MetaDB, is to get rid of this information.
Yeah. If you don't have it, you can't share it. And people don't have to anonymize, right? Like there are lots of options that people can use. So, where are we at with this one?
Think the consensus is close it.
Is
I
every.
already marked it closing.
Okay. All right. Again, others can speak up if they really feel like they want it. And it
interesting
would have to
thought.
be optional, I think. So.
Yes, definitely.
All right. It is 11:54. Let's do this. Make this the last one. Although, don't we already, didn't this already get developed? I thought this was be already in development. This
For page
printing
slips.
a single pull slip.
I feel like this is probably why did Darcy? Darcy, Darcy doesn't work at Cornell anymore. She left, which was sad because
Long,
she's
long
great.
since, but she did a lot of
Yeah,
work.
I think this was probably workarounds for library technical services, where they wouldn't have to use the check-in app, for that they could print slips directly from inventory because the
Okay.
use case is weird. We, you're right. There is already an option in requests where you can print individual page slips. But this
Gotcha.
is also mentioning, like, in the inventory screen, you can print a
No.
slip from there or transit slips. And yeah, this feels like a workaround for library technical services, so they don't have to use a check-in app.
Yeah, but it if you have a slip for transit, it should be it should actually be in transit.
Exactly,
Right,
exactly.
which in order to do that, you have to have it. So I guess the thing I thought had already been developed was that pick slips were, I definitely saw it, whether it was in Bugfest or
Yeah, it's in
something.
Remsen's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it available now?
I'm
Yeah.
looking right now. I'm in Sunflower, and there is a line that says print selected pick slips, but it's grayed out. So it's like
Yeah.
it's not quite ready, maybe.
Do you have
You
to
have to
check
turn it
something
on.
off
You
though,
have,
Aaron? Do you have to
yes,
like
you
check
have.
up, select at least one and then it becomes active?
I did do that and it didn't make a change.
Oops.
So,
Okay.
oh,
Yeah.
you know what? Hang
It's a
on.
bit.
Hang on. Maybe this. Okay, never mind. So what there is now, there is a column that says single print. And there is a button in that column that says print, but that is also grayed out. So I can't do anything with it. So it looks like they're working on
I think you have to turn it on.
I wonder if it's a
Yes.
permission.
I think, yeah, that might be a permission. I think this was ready for Remsen's. I did a
That's what I
UAT
thought.
on
It
this.
does.
I'm
It
pretty
does
sure.
work. It
Yeah.
does. I'll have to investigate
It
turning that
works.
on.
I think this was where I was confused
Okay.
about the pickup service point versus the item location service point. And if you might have a filtered list, but it will only print ones that have one of those features. I may be confused about it though.
Oh, I think you might be talking about just the, are you talking about just the regular when you print pick slips, which one it's use, what it's printing for, Robert?
I mean, maybe, but I thought the same principle applied because you could create a filter, but you couldn't do things based on the filter. You had to do it based on your actual service point. But
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I think it's
we
designed
used
to print just a single pick slip, however you got the request up on your screen, it's designed to be able to print just that pick slip. Sorry, Olga, go ahead.
We started using it in Remsen's. It does work, but it has a bug. And sometimes it doesn't work. We did have open a ticket for that. We opened the ticket for that. And I don't remember. I don't think it's fixed yet. But in general, it works.
I feel like the biggest need for this has been this the pick slip that you can't get it to reprint. You have to print the whole, or you can design, you could
Right.
like run your pick slip printing and just choose that one page if you could find it. But since they're not in call number order, you can't.
I think it was also to get
And you can.
around the reprinting of slips because if you didn't fill a page request and you print the slips for a service point, it
Yeah.
would reprint all the old ones. And I think it was also a way of getting around that workflow too.
Right. Yeah.
And you can always reprint hold and transit slips by checking the item in. So
Right.
there's no more need for this ticket, I think.
Yes. Let's close this one. I think we closed all but one, or almost. There were two
That
we
wasn't
have
a
to look
perfect
at the
record.
front end.
Yes, two to test, one to be
To keep.
refined, and all others to close.
Great job. I want you group back. Next 2 weeks, same team, come back. We're gonna we're closing tickets. It's amazing. Okay,
Same
did
bat
you
time,
see
same bat
Aaron's
channel.
message about which require or which permission slash capability it is to that needs to be turned on?
Yeah.
We turned it on in ramps, and so
Well,
I
if
don't
you
know.
know the, but if you know the permission, we can translate that with the ICANN has
Okay,
permissions
let me see.
function. There's a way to translate it. If you put the permission in
Yep.
there, I if you find it, I can, or if you send it to me on Slack, I can translate it and send it out.
I think the setting is under circulation requests and then view print details. I think that's it.
Okay. Or that's the setting to turn it on. I'm not sure about the role though. Oh, you think there's a turn on and a capability, like a setting? What did you say the setting
Yeah.
was, Tom?
It's under circulation. Hold on, I just opened another window. Under circulation, under requests,
Okay.
there's a few different ones. There's title level requests, which you can turn on and
Yep.
off, print hold requests, and then view print details, which I think is a bad name if that is it. But the only option under there is enable view print details, parentheses, pick slips. So my guess is that is the functionality to turn it on.
So I
Okay.
have
And
that selected. Okay,
okay,
I
so there has to
kind of.
be.
I'll keep playing around with it.
Okay.
I'll message you on Slack when I figure it out. Sorry,
Thank
it
you.
was a while
Thank you.
ago.
No, it's fine.
So
And like I said, if you find the permission, we can translate it to the capability set. So,
okay.
all right.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
everyone.
There it is. It looks like it's under application, U app platform complete, UI circulation settings, request prints. No, never mind. No, I was wrong.
Stop listening to Tom.
Thanks for
Stop
your
listening
efforts, Tom. Thanks for your
to
efforts.
Yeah, Katie, if you find it and can share it, that would be fantastic. And we'll figure
Yes.
it out. All right.
Take care.
Take care, everyone. Thank you. See you
Bye.
Monday.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.